Well, our sermon text tonight, our final sermon in our sermon series in 1 Timothy, is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. If you're reading the Pew Bible, that can be found on page 994. This is the word of the Lord. Paul writes, "O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you." Word of the Lord, let's briefly pray and ask for God's help. Lord, we know that we need your help to see and understand your word. We need your help as your church, corporately, to guard what has been entrusted to us. And I pray that you will be with me as I proclaim your word to your people, that you will guard the deposit that you have entrusted to me as your servant. Please be with us, Lord. Bless us by your word, and keep us and our congregation here at Cornerstone faithful and fruitful until Jesus comes again. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Final words are often very important and worth paying attention to because they are the last chance to express what the person considers most important. Whether it's the final words of the coach's talk to the team before a game, or a boss giving one final instruction for a project or assignment, or a friend or loved one offering one last piece of advice in a conversation, you can usually see what they prioritize and want you to know by their final words. And we've come tonight to Paul's final words to Timothy in this letter. Because these words are not just Paul's final words to Timothy, but are God's words for us to hear as well, we must pay attention to them. And heed his warning too. This letter was not a private letter just for Timothy, but it was written for the church in Ephesus as well, and was preserved as sacred scripture for the church in all ages. We know that, of course, because it's in the Bible, the canon of Scripture, the collection of God's inspired word. But there's a clue right here in the very last word of the text when Paul says, "Grace be with you." And in the English Standard Version that we use, you can see a footnote that points out the Greek for "you" is plural. It's addressed not just to Timothy as an individual, to others as well. In Philadelphia, we might say, "Grace be with yous." In the South, "Grace be with y'all." Or in Pittsburgh, most incomprehensibly of all, "Grace be with yins." This is a letter for the church. This is a letter for us. Paul's final instructions for Timothy are instructions for us, for the church in all ages. And they direct us once again to his primary concern throughout the whole letter, that Timothy and the church teach and guard the truth given to them and not stray from the faith because of false teaching or into false teaching. He reiterates that here at the end, one last time. He writes again, "O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you." He tells Timothy here what to do and what not to do. And that's what we'll look at together tonight. What Paul tells Timothy to do and what Paul tells Timothy not to do. And we need to see and grasp that the stakes could not be higher. It is a matter of keeping the faith or swerving from the faith, of Timothy being a faithful minister or a false teacher. Paul tells Timothy to guard the deposit entrusted to you. But what is the deposit entrusted to Timothy? Well, we have an idea of what Paul means from how the same word is used in that passage we read from 2 Timothy earlier in the service. There in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul speaks about how he is convinced that God is able to guard what has been entrusted to him. Literally, as a footnote reads, "my deposit." And there, he also tells Timothy, at the end of the reading, in verse 14, "by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." But right in the middle, we have the clearest clue about what this deposit is. When Paul says, "follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus." The deposit is this pattern of sound words, correct words, healthy words that you, Timothy, Paul says, have heard from me. It's the teaching of the Christian faith, Christian truth given to the church by the apostles and prophets, now revealed in God's word. Jude, the brother of Jesus, puts it so well in his letter to the church, in one of my favorite verses of scripture, when he instructs the church to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I love that. If we would just listen to that, we would be spared many problems. The faith has been delivered to the saints once and for all. We don't need to add to it. We must not add to it. We receive it and contend for it. Like a delivery of mulch or firewood, we still have work to do with it. It's fair to say that the faith once for all delivered has, to the saints, has in the history of the church been helpfully spread and sorted, arranged, and stacked for us. We're called to proclaim and share that faith. That's a big part of contending for it. And the doctrinal development in light of greater understanding of the faith once for all delivered to the saints, it's good and important. We'll never exhaust the depths of the revelation of the infinite God. We'll never fully comprehend the God who cannot be fully known even when he is truly known. That's true. But all that we need has been once for all delivered to the saints. It's given to us. And that means, as a deposit, Christian truth, Christian faith, it's not ours to do what we want with it. It's not our property. It's ours to steward and guard. And a deposit is property entrusted to another. And it's often very valuable, as Christian truth and the Christian faith are supremely valuable. And that means guarding the deposit is to be taken very, very seriously. Think about the kind of valuables you might put in a safe deposit box at the bank. Documents that, if lost or stolen or destroyed, would be damaging or difficult or even impossible to replace, along with other irreplaceable or valuable items. And the bank takes guarding the deposits entrusted to them very seriously. And I know that from firsthand experience. After my first year of college, I took a mission trip to Peru over the summer with people from the campus ministry that I attended, and obviously I needed my passport. We were set to fly out very early in the morning on July 5th, and so we were meeting as a group on the 4th of July. I was packing on the evening of July 3rd to leave the next day, and being the irresponsible college college student that I was, no offense to college students, that I was at least, I asked my mom where my passport was kept. And I was surprised to learn that it was in the same deposit box at the bank, which was closed for the day. It would be closed the next day for the 4th of July and would not reopen until after my flight left on the morning of July 5th. And obviously, I had a big problem and I was thrown into a panic. And we tried every customer service line that we could. We were kicked up and up the chain of command at the bank to whoever was available. At one point, my dad was on the phone with the vice president of the entire corporation, who was out for dinner that evening. But the breakthrough for me came when I remembered the name of the teller at our local branch and had the idea to look her number up in the phone book. I imagine most of you know what a phone book is. But then I decided to try calling her at home. And one of the benefits of living in a small town and not a metropolitan area with millions of people is that you know the name of the bank teller, and the bank teller knows your name too. Thankfully, her name was listed in the phone book. She recognized my name, our name on the caller ID, and when I got through, she agreed to come and open the bank on the 4th of July for me to get my passport on one condition. She had to find another employee willing to come in with her. The bank takes guarding the deposits entrusted to them so seriously that no one is even able to access them on their own. They need a second person there to be able to get into them. Thankfully, she was able to get in touch with one of her coworkers, and together they opened the bank and our safe deposit box for me to get my passport on the following day. And I will always be so grateful that they did that for me, even though it's been almost a decade since I've lived anywhere near close to a branch or an ATM. I've still kept my small account with them because of how helpful they were to me. And in all seriousness, though, in addition to learning an important lesson about responsibility and assumptions about what they can do to you and me, I learned how serious it is to guard a deposit entrusted to you. They took it really seriously. Two people, logs, everything. And Timothy is to guard the sound words of the Christian faith with the same seriousness for the same reason. It is valuable and it's not his. There are people who have lost the deposit, who have swerved from the faith, and would like nothing more than for Timothy and the whole church with him to lose it to. And Paul urged him to remain at Ephesus so that he may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Those were his opening words, and they're echoed here in these closing words. And just like at the beginning of the letter, Paul not only tells Timothy what to do, but what not to do, what to avoid. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, he says. At the beginning of the letter, after urging Timothy to charge certain people not to teach any different doctrine, he continues, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. Notice the choice of a similar word there, similar word to deposit, to describe Christian truth and the Christian faith, a stewardship. We're responsible for it, but it's not our own. And in contrast to the deposit, to the stewardship entrusted to Timothy, are myths, endless genealogies, speculations, irreverent babble, and contradictions falsely called knowledge. Timothy is meant to focus on the truth, not myths. As Paul put it earlier, he's to have nothing to do with irreverent silly myths, but rather training self for godliness. He's to devote himself not to endless genealogies and speculations, but to the public reading of Scripture. exhortation to teaching. And Paul reiterates the reason why he is to avoid irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge here in the final verse. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. They've been led astray from the faith entirely. There's an escalation here at the end, or at least a clarity that is not as clear at the beginning when Paul says certain persons by swerving from these, a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith, they wandered away in a vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. And Paul is clear here that they have not just swerved into vanity, foolishness, they've swerved right out of the faith entirely. And we see that in our own day and age, don't we? People and churches swerving right out of the Christian faith because of irreverent babble, contradictions, what is falsely called knowledge. Swerving because they don't guard the truth of the deposit. It's not, for example, as the Archbishop of Canterbury characterized the Church of England's decision to bless same-sex relationships this past week, a matter of interpreting Scripture differently or understanding the work of the Spirit differently. It's a matter of guarding the deposit or giving it away. And it's tragic. It's tragic because people in churches can lose the deposit and swerve out of the faith so easily. All it takes is just a twist of deception, a small change to the truth. After all, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. It can be as simple as the question, did God really say? And yet, as easy as it can be to lose the deposit and swerve out of the faith, it can also be avoided. While it's not necessarily easy to guard the deposit, how you guard it is relatively simple. It can be avoided by doing what Paul tells Timothy to do here. And focusing on prioritizing and devoting ourselves and our churches to what Timothy is told to do, not only here, but throughout this letter, and avoiding everything else, can be avoided by being a church and a people that is devoted to Scripture, to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Can be avoided by being a church that takes seriously the charge to follow and guard the pattern of sound words that have been handed down to us through the ages, which we have in our church from the ancient creeds of the faith, as well as in the system of doctrine contained in the Reformed confessions we've received and adopted from the Protestant Reformation. To be clear, to be a member at Cornerstone, you don't necessarily have to receive and believe everything found in our Reformed confessions. That's good. But even if you don't, they are still a pattern of sound words that you can learn from and follow, full of much rich teaching that all Christians agree on about God and Christ and salvation and Christian life, even if other branches of the church might disagree with some of it, as we would some of their confessions. But we're privileged in our time and place to have not only the faith once for all delivered to the saints, but 2,000 years of reflection on it. But here's a potential pitfall, maybe especially for people like us and for people in our tradition. We can't just follow a pattern of sound words, but we must make sure that we follow the pattern of sound words because we are following Jesus. Remember, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:13, follow the pattern of sound words that you've heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ. Christ Jesus. You must never lose sight of that. You follow the truth of the Christian faith in faith and in love. Otherwise, we're just noisy gongs. The deposit entrusted to Timothy and to us is the truth about Jesus, who loves us and gave himself for us because he loves us. The deposit, the power of sound words, it's the truth about the Christ who has been proclaimed so clearly throughout this letter. It's the same, and it is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's the truth that there is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. It's the mystery of godliness that we confess, that he was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. It is the eternal life to which we were called, and if you're a believer, about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses when you publicly professed your faith in Jesus. That's the deposit we as the church have been entrusted with and are exhorted to guard. The good news about Jesus and how he gave himself to save sinners, to be the mediator for all who repent and believe by dying, rising from the dead, and ascending to heaven, so that we may receive eternal life in him. And the good news about guarding the good deposit of the good news is that because the deposit is not ours but God's, he will ultimately be the one who guards it. Remember what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Timothy and the church with him is to guard the deposit, it's true. But we can do it with the full assurance that Paul had, that God will ultimately be the one who guards him. Indeed, in 2 Timothy, there, verse 14, Paul reminds Timothy that he's to guard the good deposit entrusted to him by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. That's both our calling and the promise that by grace and the power of the Spirit at work within us, we will guard what has been entrusted to us. We're called to receive and follow God's word together with the help of those he's given and charged in his church, both in the past and today, to help guide us and to guard the deposit with us and for us. And if we focus on that, the grace that is in Jesus, that Paul blesses the church with here at the end of this letter, we will guard the deposit entrusted to us, even as it gives grace to us. Amen. Let's pray and sing and prepare to come to the Lord's table.